Endure, written by Ranger Jedi 67 and read by Flower Parish. This is a Lord of the Rings fic centered on the character Boromir. "I cannot believe you have lent your support to this usurper from the north," Denethor hisses. Boromir steadfastly stares back at his father. "I have done what I believe best for our people," Boromir defends, keeping his tone as level as he possibly can. Faramir is the only witness to this exchange. Even the throne room guards have been dismissed. Boromir can practically feel his brother's questions. They will have much to speak of later. "Aragorn comes from a line long failed," Denethor declares. "He knows nothing of Gondor. He is unfit." Boromir shook his head. "He will be a great king, and he knows plenty. He spent time here as Thorongil, but you suspected that, did you not? It's why you came to dislike him." Denethor scowls. "Your time away has twisted your mind," Denethor counters, "but you have wisely returned home where you belong. Your soldiers need you." That, at least, is something they can agree on. "I know," Boromir assures, "which is why I returned as soon as I was able." Denethor eyes him carefully. "The Hobbit said you were gravely injured." Grimacing, Boromir nods. "3 orc arrows," Boromir admits. "In truth, father, it is only Aragorn's skills as a healer that saved me. By rights, I should have perished at Mon Hen." Denethor looks away angrily. "For that, at least, I owe him thanks. The rest we shall speak of later. You should rest." Boromir inclines his head and turns to leave. Faramir follows close behind. "Come," Boromir says softly. "I wish to look out over the city before I retire." Dutifully, Faramir does as he bids. Boromir leans against the wall and looks out over the city and the Pelennor Fields. The land had suffered from so much fighting, and it wasn't over yet. He could only hope that whatever lay ahead didn't totally soak his land in blood. He wasn't sure Gondor could take it. They'd suffered for so long. The end had to be in sight. His people, their people, could not endure much more. "We did all we could to hold Osgiliath," Faramir assures, as his gaze turns to the city. "But we were overwhelmed by their numbers." Turning to look at him, Boromir replies, "I know you would not have retreated unless you had no choice. We knew they'd return to try to push us out again." Placing a hand on Faramir's shoulder, he adds, "To make sacrifices in a necessary battle, even a hopeless one, is one matter. To lose men in an unwinnable and unnecessary fight is something else. We need to focus on making the city as secure as we can. That is our best hope now." Faramir lets out a long, slow breath. "You believe it's going to get worse," Faramir states. There is no question in his tone. His little brother knows him too well for anything else. Wincing, Boromir nods. "It's why I insisted on coming home. We know another battle, possibly the deciding one of the war, is coming. We know the enemy will target Minas Tirith first. This is where I am needed." Faramir leans against the wall and closes his eyes. "And are we to stand alone?" Faramir asks. Looking out once more over the land, Boromir shakes his head. "We will not stand alone in that field when the time comes," Boromir assures. Faramir looks to him with questioning eyes. "But how? Father will not ask for aid, no matter how dire the situation," Faramir points out. A sad but rueful smile twists Boromir's lips. "The beacon will be lit when needed, whether Father likes it or not," Boromir replies. Faramir's eyes widen. "You will openly defy him?" Running a hand over his face, Boromir admits, "If I must." Silence falls between them for a long moment. "I'm glad you're home, brother," Faramir says quietly. "Finding your shield and horn." Boromir pulls his beloved little brother into a hug. I am sorry I caused you such distress, Boromir replies. I thought the river would dispose of them. I didn't want them to end up in enemy hands. Faramir winces. I understand, he says, as he tightens his hold. The enemy could have taunted us with them had they gotten a hold of either item. That was exactly what Boromir had feared. While Sauron was an ever-watchful evil eye, he had plenty of mortal servants who knew how to inflict harm. You should rest, Faramir murmurs after a moment. Such injuries, followed by a long journey, it's a testament to your strength that you're still standing. Boromir groans as they part. And I fought a battle less than a week ago. Eyes widening, Faramir asks, how did you manage it? While he knows that Faramir isn't naive, Boromir can't quite bring himself to admit how difficult and painful the Battle of Helm's Deep had been. His injuries slowed him down, lessening his ability to fight and making his every move more difficult. He settles on a condensed version of the truth. With great difficulty, Boromir allows, but I had to. It was fight or hide away with the women and children. That I could not do. Faramir closes his eyes and nods. I understand and would have chosen the same. They lapse into silence again as they head towards Boromir's chambers. Along the way, they flag down passing servants to have food brought up and a bath prepared. I admit, that will be welcome, Boromir says, as the pair step into his rooms. I haven't had the chance for a proper bath since Lothlorien. Faramir grins. I wasn't going to comment. Boromir playfully shoves him in the side. For a moment, it's as if they're young and carefree. But the moment passes all too soon as a servant knocks on the door. As they eat and the servants prepare Boromir's bath, the brothers exchange all the news they dare in front of others. Pippin has offered his services to Gondor, Faramir says, as he prepares to leave so Boromir may bathe in peace. Father accepted, as payment for you nearly dying for him and his cousin. Boromir frowns. Pippin said nothing when I saw him when I arrived. Faramir offers a small, wry smile. Perhaps he thought you'd disapprove, Faramir offers. He is very determined on the matter. Boromir sighs. Perhaps. When does Father plan to have him swear his oath? Patting his shoulder, Faramir replies, Mid-afternoon. Shall I fetch you for it? A yawn splits Boromir's face, but he nods anyway. That still gives him a few hours to rest. It's better than nothing. Please do, Boromir requests. I'll take a bath, then a nap, but I want to be there. Smiling softly, Faramir nods. I'll be sure you're awake in time, and I'll bring a healer to check you over. Reluctantly, Boromir agrees to the healer. He knows his brother is worried, so he's willing to let Faramir have what reassurance he can. Faramir leaves, and Boromir dismisses the remaining servant. He's perfectly capable of taking a bath on his own, and he's looking forward to a few minutes of peace. I will not yield Osgiliath and the Pelennor unfought, Denethor insists. All the warm pride that had welled up in Boromir's heart watching Pippin swear fealty is chased away by fiery anger. My lord, Osgiliath is overrun, Faramir replies earnestly. Boromir will not stand silently and allow this. Father, to send men back to Osgiliath is to send them to certain, pointless death, Boromir intercedes. Mordor is marshaling the whole of its force to use against us. We cannot match them. Any man we send to Osgiliath is one less that we will have to defend the city when that happens. It is unnecessary, and it is madness. Denethor scowls. Has all your bravery fled with your injuries? Boromir stares back, shocked and angry, but unyielding. If you send Faramir back, understand that I will ride with him, Boromir says. Beside him, he hears Faramir draw in a sharp breath. Their father freezes in his chair. No, Denethor snarls. Faramir will go. You will not accompany him. Boromir draws himself up to his full height and squares his shoulders. I will, Boromir counters, and you will not stop me. I am captain of the White Tower. These are my men. I will not send them to certain death and hide in the Citadel like a coward." Denethor stares back at him. "You are that certain?" Denethor asks. "You were not there. You have not had time to read any reports." The worst part of all of this is that had he been the one to initially claim that Osgiliath was unattainable, then their father would have accepted it. Denethor questions it only because it came from Faramir first. Boromir hates it, but this is nothing new. "I know the state of it when I left," Boromir begins. "We'd only just managed victory. Troops were moved elsewhere out of necessity. The soldiers left there were few. That's why Faramir's men were called to reinforce it in the first place. They stood no chance. We'd need to marshal all of our forces yet again to even make an attempt. That would take time. Any small group of men would be riding to slaughter. I will not allow that without a fight." Denethor frowns heavily. "And what do you suggest we do?" Denethor asks. Boromir firmly lets himself settle into his commander of men mindset. He is captain of the White Tower. Until this is over, Gondor is his to protect. "We need to prepare for all-out war," Boromir says. "Marshal our full forces, call on our allies. The end of this war is nearly upon us. We need to prepare for that, not attempt a fruitless campaign." Denethor's lips curl in disgust, but Boromir can see in his father's eyes that he sees the logic in the words. "Very well," Denethor spits. "Prepare our men as you see fit. But there are no allies who will come to our aid, no matter what your would-be king has promised you." That is another battlefield, and one that Boromir does not have the strength for at the moment. It can wait. Besides, he will light the beacons himself if he must. The men guarding it will not argue with him. "When this is over, father, our city will still stand," Boromir vows. "It will likely be battered, but the White City will endure. It must." The end.